is the secret place. The secret place. Psalms comes from Psalms 91, the 91st Psalm. I'd written down, the message comes from the first two verses. I think it'd be appropriate to read the whole psalm. It's a glorious psalm. But the first two verses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Man, that's a glorious thing for today. A secret place. Away from that house or this house or this land or wherever it is that you may dwell or work or reside. A secret place. And then the psalmist goes, he said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Amen. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High. Now look, thy habitation. You've made the Lord your habitation. Don't all these other things become insignificant once the Lord becomes your habitation? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a man thinks about God describes that man. Who and what he is. It's not so hard to see the man who fears God. Job said, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not receive evil? I find most are like, if you remember in the Pilgrim, pliable. The first sign of trouble, man, the slew of the spot, and they, man, I'm not going for this. And that's the way most of those guys were that I spoke of earlier. You just give them a dose of religion, the first sign of trouble, and they're out of here. Now, our image of God describes us. It's the most revealing fact of our being. Listen, our image of God. What we believe or imagine or think that God is. What comes into your mind when you think about God? Boy, I'd love to have a great classroom of people or a large building or just go down the street and ask people, what comes to your mind when you think about God? Would not most, they might give the very religious answer of love, right? God is love. It's easy, but that's kind of a cop-out. It'd be like saying, well, what do you think of Smokey? Smokey's a man. Okay. But doesn't tell you a whole lot, you see. And yet I confess to you that my answer, what comes into your mind when you think about God is that I'm unable to stand before Him. I can't reconcile His majesty with my lack of to fear the Lord with a perfect heart. And I want to say this morning emphatically that God is not my pal. He's not my love God. And I've got a reverence for God that's otherworldly, that's not of this world. And I think that honest answers would be rare to a question of what men think of God, if they even know such an answer. Most only know that which they've heard or been taught as a child. Have you ever considered the gift of thought? The fact that you think. Now, I'm a little different than some. And there yesterday, I there are times during the day when I go, can I be without thought? You say. So we have a gift of thought, and we have a gift of speech. In the beginning was the Word. And God said. Doesn't say, and God thought. And God made, and God created. It said, and God said. The Word. Now, what are you going to do with that gift? What are you going to do with it? You know that if men could read our thoughts, that we'd probably kill each other. We'd tear each other's hearts out. Yet the most important facet of our being is what we think of God. Doesn't matter for professions of faith and baptisms and denominations. What we as individuals think of God. The reality of God in our lives. I think. You've heard me say, man, the two most dangerous words in English language or any language. I think. It's thinking is the God-like attribute that gets us into the most trouble. It's what we think. It's what leads us into sin. We're tempted and we start thinking. We didn't think about it. You see? I always remember, I was an old Chuck Berry fan. First long playing album I ever bought was by Chuck Berry. And he sang a song and he said, I still thinking. You see? And you know what? We are. We're still thinking. I believe that every ill of society can be traced to an incorrect thought of God. You can go to different churches this morning. You can go to the same church. We'd go down here to the First Baptist Church and get 10 people and isolate them and ask them, and we'd be amazed at the different thoughts that they'd have of God. And they all part of the same fellowship. We might be amazed in our own midst. And there, but two ways a man can have a right thought of God. Okay? And a man, he might possess both. He might. The Word and the Holy Ghost. Now, one can make the argument that they're one and the same and somewhat be somewhat correct, yet Satan has the one without the other. He has the Word. He used it on Christ. in a sense, he used it on Eve. He didn't use it for right, but you see. And Satan uses the word to be God, little g God. And you know who else does that? Man. Most I've met in religion today. How may one have a right thought of God without the Holy Ghost of God in them? If we can't even pray properly without the Holy Ghost, how can we have a right thought of God? You ever hear men's prayers? You ever hear almost all the most of the prayers I've ever heard and many I've uttered? I may as well be a Muslim or a Buddhist. Same time, same station. Right? We can write it down, and many do. In a lot of religions, they have the prayer written down, you see. Doesn't God rightfully say in Romans 8, we don't even know how to pray as we ought, you see. I go to church, then the prayers are written down. Prayer becomes sin. And the Bible says in the book of John that God hears not sinners. Let me ask you, when you were growing up, did you write down what you were going to say to your earthly father? See, I'm talking about a right thought about God. Oh man, I better write down. No, we never did. You see? Did you not go to him in childlike simplicity? And Jesus said, except you come to me as a child, you see? How may you pre-speak for the Holy Ghost? And thus men can't even pray as they ought. At core, men by nature are idolaters. And that is, they have an incorrect view of God. And that incorrect view, look, an incorrect thought of God is an idol. A false god. You see, what a man thinks doesn't change who and what God is. And you have to have that in place. Saul lost his kingdom because he thought. He had a thought. Well, I'll save Agar and the final, you know, he had a thought. Lucifer became Satan because he thought. Cain, Jezebel, Balaam, Judas, Simon the sorcerer, they all thought. Over in Acts chapter 8, verse 20, Peter, if you remember when he rebuked Simon. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee because thou hast what? Thought. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. That's the church today. They all think. They all think their way's the best. And you ask me, well, I thought. Well, why don't you do that? Well, I thought, you see. And their salvation, their salvation is based on what? Thought. They all think they're saved. They think they're saved. Do you think those that cried, Lord, Lord, one day they're going to... I thought, because I did wonderful work, I thought, because I called him Lord, I thought... You see? They believe in God. Or think they believe in God. They go to church, or they think they go to church. Sometimes pray, whatever that means. Sing songs in service. Get baptized. Hear psychological messages pleasing to man, how God loves them. And they imagine wonderful thoughts of a God of their own thought, their own liking. their own measure. So you go back and what do you think of God? What do you think God is? You see? And so they have all these wonderful thoughts, and that's great unless you're Esau. Esau have I hated. God hated Esau. And if you think God hated only Esau, well, then you've got that idol, the god of your mind, working again. You see? Esau. God loved Job. You remember all the things that God let befall Job? Or even his only begotten son? Now people might say, if they'd be honest, well, I don't like that God. What kind of God would do that? What kind of father would do that? Job was perfect and upright, and he turns the devil on him, and his kids are dead. He let his own son be crucified. Now you have to start. Now you must raise your thought of God to a new level. An unearthly level. A supernatural level. Most think that God is something other than he is. In the purest sense, Satan becomes their god without their ever knowing it. We become gods as gods, relying on what? What we think. That idol in heart created in our own image. And you shall be as gods. And today, even mainstay denominations of modern religion, every Sunday, they're just adding gold to the calf. Perhaps in your own mind, in our own mind, we're just adding gold to the calf. Psalm 50:21, he said, thou thoughtest, God said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. There it is, right there. Psalm 50:21. Boy, how true is that? You think I'm like you. Hello, little G gods. Ever hear them? In my heart, I believe God is. In my heart, I believe such and such. I cringe when I hear that. You see, God is, regardless of what you and I think. What of those before God at this hour? At this hour, the seraphim and the cherubim. Do you know what they do? Do you know what they're doing at this hour? Not here, where God resides. Do you know what they're doing right now? Do you what? Crying, holy, 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 holy. But I don't hear such a proud man. I hear, let me tell you what I think. I can preach a word. I can come straight out of the Word of God and the next words out of it. Let me tell you what I think. How's that germane? Doesn't matter what you think, sir, ma'am. It doesn't matter. God is. Is such reverence emphasized today? I hear men got the man upstairs, the big guy, the head honcho. God forbid. That just shows they've got that little G God in their mind, that little golden calf, that whatever it is. Lord have mercy. Those are examples in the Word of God. They were prone and trembling, unable to even approach an altar. Where's that God? Certainly not in our minds, you see. Unable to even lift up their eyes, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have not men become vain in their imaginations of God? Any thought of God that's less than what he is idolatry. A true idolater bows not down only to monuments and statues, but he hides in his heart and in his mind a God to his liking. That's the true idolater. Like those people, these anarchists today, that are about our land and about the world. They don't need a statue. They're their own gods. You see. Thoughts have become our idols. Was it last Sunday we spoke on faith? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen, you see. We need to stop seeing and believe that God is. I can't name you one church today that presents God as he is. They present as they'd have him be, don't they? I can take you to the church and show you. Man, usually they got it on a window, a cross, an icon, the bulletin. How do they always have a picture of Jesus on the bulletin? Pretty boy with blonde hair, blue eyes, and he's standing next to a little sheep or a little child. You ever see a JW flyer? That's how they want God. That's their God. They want that blonde haired, blue eyed boy with the sheep and the babies. It's their God. But it's not this God. It's not this God. I believe that's why he made Christ as he made him, a root out of dry ground. And he said, you're going to make an idol of him. You're going to have a thought of him. And so they did. You ever see how we can glorify the dead? Our heroes, and they speak of them as if they were like they're doing with this fellow that was... All these riots are over. Now all of a sudden he goes from a goat to a hero. But he had to die. And if he didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's in hell. You see. So they present him as they'd have him to be. And that's how we got these denominations in these churches. The Jews rejected God in the desert. Remember? The Exodus? They rejected God in the desert. And they rejected Christ in Jerusalem. Do you know why? Do you really know why? He wasn't what they wanted him to be. No. How will you have him? Better yet, will you have him? Will you know God? I read this refrain. It's a prayer of sorts, and I'm going to close with it. Lord, how great is our dilemma? In thy presence, silence best becomes us. Amen. But love inflames our hearts and constrains us to speak. Were we to hold our peace, the stones would cry out. Yet if we speak, what shall we say? Teach us to know that we cannot know. When I read over that this morning, I wanted to underline that. Teach us to know that we cannot know. For the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Let faith support us where reason fails, and we shall faint because we believe. Hear it? We shall think because we believe, not in order that we may believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now that's an old prayer. How is that to the prayers of today? That's a prayer, a right thought of God, the secret place of the Most High.